You're listening to the Connecting Industry Podcast, brought to you by Resource Industry Media. You can find out more about the resource and construction industry, including how to communicate consciously with your stakeholders at resourceindustrymedia.com.au.
Welcome to the Connecting Industry Podcast, brought to you by Resource Industry Media. I'm Kieran Moran, Managing Director of Resource Industry Media. The Connecting Industry Podcast series is designed to tell the stories of the people who work in the resource and construction sector throughout Australia. It's our goal for these podcasts to not only keep you up to date with the latest resource and construction news, information and procurement opportunities, but most importantly, build relationships between you and our guests so you can connect with their stories and get a better understanding of how to communicate and tell your business story right. On this week's Connecting Industry Podcast, we have Vincent Elgar, Managing Director of Australian Vanadium Limited. Vincent is a geologist by profession with over 27 years' experience in the mining industry, spanning underground and open-cut mining, greenfield exploration, project development and mining services in both Western Australia and Southern Africa. Since 2015, Vincent has been Managing Director of Australian Vanadium Limited and is responsible for advancing the company's high-grade Australian Vanadium project in Western Australia with its mine site south of Makarratha and processing plant location between Mallawa and Geraldton. Welcome, Vincent, to the program.
Hi, Kieran. Thanks for having me on.
I got to say, as I was just reading that introduction, have I got the location right of the Australian Vanadium project when I south of Makarratha? That's correct.
Yes, that's Vanadium and it's Makarratha. Yep.
Right. Okay. Pronunciation on a number of things there. Eventually I'll get it right on this podcast. So thank you for coming on board. And we're actually, to our listeners, we actually are speaking to Vincent as the company and the project that he's doing is in WA, which will be also appearing on the Connecting Industry Conference WA on June 17th. So let's get straight into it, Vincent. Tell us a little bit about first the company.
Well, the company has been around for over 10 years now, probably nearly pushing 13, to be honest, as a listed company on the Australian Stock Exchange. The company's code at the moment is AVL, Alpha Victor Lima, and that is our, we've been trading under that code since I joined the company 6 years ago. The company has been primarily focused on the development of the Gabonantha Vanadium Project. In that time, the company has a number of other assets, which it's for gold and base metals, which it's has had over time, and uranium, and those have been either put on the back burner or, in the case of the gold and base metal assets, spun out into a company called Bryah Resources. That's BYH, also a listed company that operates out of the same office here with us. So while we were able to let shareholders have access to the gold and base metal opportunities, we were then able to focus very clearly on the vanadium development. Now, vanadium is a, we'll talk a little bit about the commodity data, but the company has been really primarily focused on that. And at the moment, we've developed a very significant resource base for the project south of Makarratha. It's about 40 k's south of Mika. And in that resource base, we've been able to define a project that is a 25-year mine life project with mineral reserves ready to go into development in the next year or so as we finalise our studies later this year.
So the project has actually been awarded major project status by the Australian federal government and also lead agency status by the Western Australian government in recognition of its strategic importance as a critical and battery metal project. Why is it strategically important?
Well, let's just talk about the commodity for a moment, and that's the main reason why. So we hear the word strategic metal, strategic commodity, and at the moment in the world, any commodity that is where the market is under some level of monopolistic control, either by a company or by a country, and it's needed for key applications such as the development of Western economies or any economy to that, for that matter, and we have Those economies, say Europe and North America and Australia, when they don't have that material available to themselves, that is regarded as a critical mineral. Now, on that critical mineral list would be the rare earth metals, metals like chrome, which are involved in stainless steel and also in military applications. Manganese is on that list as well, and vanadium is on that list. Now, vanadium is used in steel production. It's used to strengthen steel. That's one of its applications. But it's also used in conjunction with titanium aluminium to form high-strength master alloys that are used in defense and aerospace applications. And that's really where its criticality comes from. And that's why as a country, Australia is quite rich in vanadium resources, but it doesn't actually produce any vanadium resources right now. So, and the USA and Europe, our major partners, and India, for example, don't make a lot of vanadium. In fact, they import almost all the vanadium that they use. So, and China dominates this market, and as a result, that Chinese domination of a commodity puts the limelight onto a product like vanadium, and makes it really, really important that we produce it and control the production of high purity, that we don't give it away easy, that we control it within our borders.
So you said you've been with the company now for around about 6 years, but when did the planning, I suppose, for this project start? How long has it been sort of in the works for?
So when I joined the company, that had a couple of starts on it. It's a vanadium, it's a magnetite project, so it's called a titanium vanadium magnetite. These are the types of deposits. They're magmatic in origin. They're not sedimentary in origin. So they're not like other iron ores that we see in the Pilbara, for example, or the large magnetite projects we see in Western Australia. These are relatively modest in size. Having said that, we have accumulated a resource of over 200 million tonnes. But what's important about these types of deposits is that they needed to be, you need to define them very clearly. One, from a size and geological distribution point of view, but also you have to define them from a grade and recovery point of view. And that's what we've been spending our time doing over the last 6 years. When I arrived at the company, some minor scoping studies had been done, but since I arrived, we've focused our geological skills on defining the resource really well. And once we defined the resource and where it was and how it looked, and what its grade was, then we started to focus on the metallurgical side. So how did it recover? How do we get it out of the ground? And how do we get it into a finished vanadium product that's high purity enough to meet all those markets, both steel and energy storage and titanium vanadium alloy? And that's where we've been focusing our efforts for the last 3 or 4 years, is on the studies. Because we believe that the ore body has a big part of the final recovery equation and the economic equation, we work closely between our geologists still and our engineers to make sure that we understand what's going to come out the ground and what makes it to the plant. So we've been working with a very well internationally known engineering firm called Wood, the Wood Group, and they've been helping us as our engineering partner to move this project through feasibility, through to bankable feasibility, which will be completed in the third quarter of this year.
And once it is completed and hopefully successful, which no doubt it will be, where would what timelines or so forth that the scope and timelines, what's the expectation there?
So subject, obviously always subject to funding, Kieran, with these things, and the state of world markets, which are both, in particular, the state of world markets is always a subjective matter, given the world we live in. But having said that, our timeline that we're working towards is to get full funding early next year in place, and with that full funding to commence the what we call the FEED study, which is the final engineering design and study to work, acquiring long lead time items. And that process, in conjunction with the construction, will take about a year. So if we close early next year, we should be in production by 23. Now, the caveats to that are environmental approval from the state, But given the strong attitude towards recovery within the Australian economy, and a very strong interest around the production of high purity chemical and energy storage and steel products for this critical mineral market, which we as AVL will be able to do, that puts us in a very good position to shorten that timeline for environmental approval. All our approvals are in and awaiting adjudication by the EPA. And that's always a hang-up, if you like, for many companies as they go down that route. So funding is obviously always important. Offtake for us, which we'll close in the next 3 to 6 months for our production, and then the focus on will then lend to the final part of the FEED study and construction.
And what's your understanding in relation to some of the work that will be needed via the supply chain and so forth to construction of the project?
Yeah, so the way we see that is we have quite a unique layout. Our project is in the Midwest of WA. That's a region which is sort of centered around the port of Geraldton and east. To the east of Geraldton, we have a very excellent road and rail corridor that runs east of there, and also gas pipeline infrastructure in the region. So the other thing about Geraldton is it provides a natural workforce base for the types of roles that need to be filled for this project. And then obviously lots of regional opportunities around Meekatharra, Mount Magnet, Kew, which are quite small towns but have significant capacity to grow and provide services for the project themselves. So we're going to have two sites. We're going to have a site at the mine where ore is mined and concentrated to a magnetite concentrate, and that concentrate will then be transported down to a site near Mullawa, closer to Geraldton, and there we will finish the processing of the vanadium into a highly purified product, a very high value product, and that product will then be shipped to its target customers, whether they be battery customers inside Australia, where we'll make electrolyte and fill vanadium flow batteries for them, or whether we sell them to steel makers in the West, in North America and Europe, and probably some in Southeast Asia. So those opportunities in terms of construction of the mine, provision of services to the mine, will involve and then trucking and distribution through Geraldton and support of our staff in Geraldton will be quite significant over the entire period. Just in terms of jobs, each of our sites will have around 120 jobs per site full time once in construction, and over 500 jobs in total during construction time. On both sites, roughly evenly split. So that's a fairly high impact for the region. And on an ongoing basis, this project has got a minimum life of 25 years right now, with significant upside for extensions to the project life. Particularly once we've mined out our portion of the ore body, there are a number of other resources around Western Australia that fit the bill for processing in our processing plant at Mullawa. So we think that there's a lot of life in here from the local industry development and job development over time, and also more importantly, skills development. We're very keen to develop skill sets that can be transferable into the greater mining industry around us.
And it will be. It is a bit of a unique project. Well, not a bit of a unique project. It is a unique project. And like you said, with some of the new skills coming on board, and it is an extremely exciting project in the long run as well. So it's going to be extremely interesting. And again, you're appearing at the Connecting Industry Conference WA on June 17th, and there'll be a lot more details, of course, in relation to the project there. But just going through a little bit of your bio, Vincent, the 27 years experience in a number of areas, generally the resource sector and so forth. Did you start off as a geologist?
Yeah, I qualified as a geologist in the last century, I could say, here and safely. Now that should put everyone in context of who I am. But I started life in South Africa as a underground mine geologist. I think I didn't want to be a mine geologist at the time, but I think many of us start that way. But then I fell in love with being underground and working in an underground mine and seeing that it was really the place where things really happened. You can't hide underground. It might sound like you can, but you actually can't. And in an underground mine, things happen. And so you become a person of action almost immediately. And so having worked in those deep mines for a couple of years, nearly 5 years, I had an opportunity to come to Western Australia. And we migrated here in the mid-90s. And that gave me an opportunity to work in a completely different industry. I started working as a consultant here in West Perth, and pretty much I've been working in companies around this part of West Perth for that entire time that I've been here, sort of 20 odd years. And I think what we find is that working across multiple industries as a consultant and working in the mining services industry as a geologist was able to acquire a lot of experience in different deposit styles, different types, and also managing the importance of managing information, specifically geological data and mining data, and how important that is to developing things. And that then starts right at the outset of data gathering when you're doing exploration, and then all the way through and how important that data acquisition is and data management. In the end, all exploration companies and mining companies are built on their data that they find in the ground. And if they don't manage that well, and don't understand it well, they'll never unlock the secrets of the ore body. So that's been my experience base, and we've continued to try and work with that. And sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. Sometimes on the good, on the bad side, you'll find something, and you'll have to come to the realization that you can do nothing with that deposit. It's never going to go anywhere. It's not going to be an economic deposit. You've got to wash your hands of it as soon as you find that out, and you've got to let go. But on the good side, and on AVL, is exactly that, where we find a deposit where there are a lot of secrets to unlock, and we've unlocking them, and as we unlock them, we unlock value for shareholders along the way. That's been the exciting part for me.
Okay, so in relation to going back to when I do speak to a geologist and so forth, a lot of them started off as looking at rocks and so forth and interested in all that. But from what I'm hearing from you as well, so of course discovering those rocks and discovering what they're about and what's in them. And is that what it's about for you, really, the discovery? It sounds like it.
I think I'm probably I like the discovery part, but it's not – I know it drives many other geologists, but to me it's the discovery of an economic outcome within a deposit. Is that – that's what interests me. Is there a pathway to actually unlocking a positive economic outcome from a discovery? Because I think that you can discover something, but you need to know whether you can get that out economically. So there's a very strong connection with the metallurgical recovery and the understanding of what I call the geometallurgical relationship between the metallurgical side and the geological side. And it's a very interesting area because it's not always straightforward or very clear or obvious in things. Even things that are high grade, they might not necessarily be obvious. It's very difficult when things are low grade. Luckily, the experience here at AVL has been that Gabonintha is a high grade deposit, and therefore we've had a lot to work with, and there's a lot of mineral opportunity there. But unlocking its secrets have also not been straightforward. We have to work really hard on piloting, for example. When you see a company not piloting properly, you know that the likelihood of their failure is going to be very, very high compared to people who pilot significantly more meaningfully. So I think the discovery is interesting to me, but I think what drives me is the discovery that there's an economic deposit. They're slightly different things.
So what do you believe are the up and coming? Of course, we're moving into renewables, and that's what a lot of area is about in relation to batteries and so forth across the board in a number of different metals. What do you see as some of the exciting minerals that currently Australia is trying to explore?
Look, it's interesting on the battery side. You know, the rare earths that are involved in the electric vehicles, the wind turbine elements and so on that are being involved, the nickel cobalt side of the battery supply chain. Very interesting developments there. Australia's got a unique opportunity to really ramp up its delivery in those areas, because increasingly the makers of these batteries outside of China are really very interested in the ethical side of things, that there's a very strong, not only a carbon footprint understanding, but also an ethical mining understanding. And Australia is in a unique position for that. And when it comes to vanadium, vanadium has got two real opportunities in this renewable energy sector. Well, actually, I'd say three. The one is not immediately apparent, but its primary market is in steel. The more vanadium you use in steel, the less steel you need to achieve a particular task. In a building, say. So if you use vanadium rebar in a building steel, if you use 300 MPa rebar, you need X amounts of steel. But if you use 600 MPa rebar, you need a lot less steel. You need a lot less concrete. You need a lot less. The carbon footprint of that building is significantly lower. So it turns out that vanadium as a primary metal in its primary application has a very big greenhouse impact. So that's a really exciting thing for us to develop. So we're pushing that side of things quite strongly. The other thing in the battery side, vanadium, as used in the Australian invention, the vanadium redox flow battery, not only consumes a large number of vanadium units, but it is a long duration solution for capturing renewables and delivering them back. Lithium-ion batteries are great, and they may appear cheap on the face of their price tag, but they carry with them a lot of issues. They have pretty much not sorted the recyclability of the metals inside them, so they will be a toxicity risk to being delivered. You know, they cause waste and they generate waste, and also they degrade over time. And vanadium can fill that gap, specifically in the stationary storage market, where we're capturing large amounts of renewable energy for grid use. So there's a very exciting use for vanadium there. In the EV market, there is some significant work going on in Europe around involving vanadium in the catalyst of the lithium-ion battery space, specifically to improve chargeability and charge retention. And that work is being done on the cathode side to add vanadium to that mixture of other metals like cobalt and nickel and graphite and manganese. And that'll be great if we join that in a big way. So we're very excited by the future of vanadium in all its applications, not only as a green metal, but also as having a significant part to play. And the good thing for us is that we have a very, very good chance of being the next cab off the rank here. And that'll put us in an excellent position as this demand starts to turn into real dollars.
And it's great to hear this, just the way things are moving and how we are looking at, like you say, as you called it there, with a green metal in some respects. And so it is, you know, the way we're moving, the way industry is moving, and they're moving fairly fast at the moment. But the beauty of that is the technology that starts coming out of it and the new discoveries and new ways of doing things. But believe it or not, Vincent, we're at the end of the Connecting Industry podcast. Much appreciated for you to be joining us. And as I've said to our listeners, Vincent will be appearing at the Connecting Industry Conference WA on June 17. If you want to catch up with Vincent, you can actually have a discussion with him and also find out a lot more about the project as well, especially some of the up-and-coming procurement opportunities. Go to connectingindustry.com.au and you'll be able to find out about that conference. But thank you very much, Vincent, for joining us.
No, great, Karen. Thank you very much for having me, and we look forward to meeting up with your audience at the conference.
Thanks, Vincent. Have a good day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Connecting Industry Podcast interview series with Kieran Moran from Resource Industry Media. To find out more about the resource and construction industry, including past podcasts, news and events, go to resourceindustrymedia.com.au.